Brother Daniel, Brother Tom, and to God be the glory. Let's go tonight, Book of Proverbs, with the Lord's help, is where we're going to preach. Something a little bit different tonight. I know Brother Matthew, directly following service, we're going to have his farewell fellowship. That's the best way I can put it. I don't know how to describe it. I've said it different ways through the years, but we'll just call it a farewell fellowship for him. And with this in mind, I've prepared the sermon tonight. You know, just as you're turning there, Proverbs 3, it shouldn't take you long to get there, but I'm just going to say a few comments as you're turning. Over the course of my time as a minister, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to cross paths with hundreds of young people through the youth camps and the retreats that I grew up in and I now work in and serve in and occasionally get the opportunity to preach at. And in the ministry, I've had the privilege of having young people come to me and tell me what their plans are for the future. Often I've had a version of this kind of conversation right regularly, and the older I get, the more the conversation happens, even more so since I've become a pastor. And the conversation often goes one of two ways. Version number one goes like this. They inform me of their plans for their life. They come to me and they say, Brother Shane, I have the plans to pursue a certain career, maybe to move to a different church or to purchase a certain car or do a certain thing with their lives. And the list could go on and on and on. And they tell me about all the great plans that they've made. But another version of that conversation goes something like this. They don't inform me of their plans, but they inform me of what they feel like the Lord has put in their heart to do. And they begin to tell me how they are going to pursue a certain career because they spent a season in prayer and seeking the face of God. Or perhaps they tell me they're going to attend a certain church so they can help minister within that church and help labor. But they tie it all back in with this. That I've been praying and God has directed me to do so. While the stories seem very similar, it is the difference between the stories that makes all the difference. And if you understand that, you know what I mean. The difference lies in whose plans are being carried out. I've had some tell me that they're moving for careers, for family, for bigger churches, or just to attend a church where there's more people their own age. And while none of these things are sinful, they have nothing to do with the will of God. Well, I have personally witnessed that those who follow their own plans rather than walking according to the plans of God will experience some of the very pitfalls and problems that the plan of God would have them avoid. I'm not here to tell you following the plan of God tonight is going to be a problem-free life, but I promise you this, there is an assurance that comes with doing the will of God. While in the same regard, I've seen some who find God's will and pursue it, and they're not problem free, but there is joy in the journey when you know that you're in the will of God. And I can say tonight to Brother Matthew before this congregation, Brother Matt's version of the story was this: Brother Shane, I feel like God is leading me to go to Bible college, and he told me about it. But the most important part of that conversation there for me was I feel the leading of the Lord to do so. I've had a lot of people come to me and tell me, either as a preacher or just as a friend, I feel to do this, I want to do this, but my encouragement is always this: know that it is the will of God, because I can tell you there'll be many disasters, many heartaches, many pitfalls that will be avoided when you know that you are walking in the will of the Lord. And I want to talk about the plans of God tonight. So let's read here, Proverbs chapter number 3. We're going to read the two verses of scripture very familiar to you. Many of you probably could quote these verses, but I just felt to go here tonight, and in light of all that's taking place here, in the light of Brother Matthew's a little farewell get together afterward, and I want to read these verses. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5, the Bible says this: Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Can we read it one more time tonight? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to preach for just a little while, the Lord will help me tonight, on decisions that determine your direction. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And I pray tonight that you'd reach down. We thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd anoint your word tonight. Make it alive. Make it real. And I pray, Lord, as we desire your direction in our lives, whatever that may look like, Lord, we want what you want and we desire what you will. And I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint and make the preaching both effective for your kingdom and for your glory. And Lord, we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I begin tonight by asking a question. How many people like to be lost? If there is one thing I don't like to be, it's lost. If I'm going somewhere, I like to have directions. Oftentimes, I'm not quite so bad, and I'll go ahead and tell on Brother Matthew tonight since we're going to talk about it. I'm not quite so bad as Brother Matthew, and if you, those of you who know what I mean when I say that. Brother Matthew, it does not matter where he is going. He is going to cut on the GPS on his phone to get to where he's going. He could not tell you tonight. I'm surprised he can probably tell us the way to get back to his mom and dad's house tonight. He is directionally challenged, but I will give him this. I believe there is part of that because he doesn't like to be lost, right? You don't like to ever lose your way. Well, I can tell you the same is true for me tonight. There's some places I've learned, I've been able to memorize in this area, because I'll tell you the truth, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I grew up about half a mile from my nearest neighbor, and I come up here and I feel like about 3 feet from my nearest neighbor. Sometimes I can about hear their conversations in their bedrooms, I feel like. But nonetheless, there's a lot of roads to get lost on around here, and I don't like to get lost. After about 8 or 9 years of living up in this area, I began to learn how to get around. But one of the worst feelings I can tell you about is being lost in a place that you don't know. There's been a few times me and my wife driving somewhere, and I lose my way a little bit, and I look around, and I tell my wife, I said, I don't have no idea where we are, but I don't like it. I can't tell you the street name. I couldn't tell you the geographical location, but I can just tell you I don't like where I'm at because I'm lost. Oh, but can I tell you tonight, as believers, we learn that the Lord has a specific direction for our lives, and it is up to us to discover what that direction is. I can tell you tonight, as believers, it is not God's will for us to be lost. Oh, we sing the old song, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, I can tell you, oh, there's a lot of believers, I've watched them, they may have been found by God, but they've gotten lost again somewhere along the way because they failed to follow the direction and the leading of God. I tell you tonight, life is filled with choices for us to make, and oftentimes the choices that we make determine the direction of our lives and what it will take from that point forward. And in this message tonight, we're going to see that there are three things that Solomon mentions here that we must decide to do in order for us to be directed by the Lord. I want us to look at this tonight. First of all, we must decide to depend upon God. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice the instruction here. He says to trust in the Lord. The word for trust here was used to refer to a couple different things in the Hebrew language. First of all, it was used of a servant that would go to his master and wait on orders before he ever moved or acted. It was the idea, I am trusting my master to give me the appropriate direction and orders. So when Solomon writes unto all those that would listen under the inspiration of God, he would say, wait on your orders. Trust in the Lord and know that he will give you direction in his time. It was also used of a defeated soldier who yielded himself over to a conquering general. Can I tell you something? When I got born again, Jesus Christ conquered my life. He became Lord of all, and he is now Lord in all by the grace of God. So now I have trusted in him. I have yielded unto him and to his will. Oh, have you ever been conquered by the Lord? Do you know what it is to have the Lord conquer your will and come in and stand victorious over what you want? And now the things that you want, you used to want, you don't want anymore. And the things that you used not to have desires for, now you desire to be with God's people and desire to be where God is at. I was reminded of Saul on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3 tells us about Saul. We know the story. Saul made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women and committing them to prison. Acts chapter 9 tells us that he breathed out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord unto the high priest. Saul was a self-made man. He thought he had it all figured out. He figured he had righteousness down pat. He figured he had right standing with God under check. But what happens on the road to Damascus? I love it. Oh, there in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? In other words, you've conquered me. You've overwhelmed me with your might. So now I surrender to what you want. I am trusting in you, Lord, because you are the one that is greater than I am. That's what trust looks like. Says, Lord, I've realized your power's greater than mine, your wisdom's greater than mine, so therefore I lay myself down before you, and whatever you want with my life, that is exactly what I want. The idea of trust espoused here would have us to be so reliant upon God that if he should fail, we would utterly sink. It's the idea of that he is the ship that I am riding on. And if the ship fails, I'm going down with the ship. In other words, I am relying upon God, and I have no other hope apart from him. This is the life of trust and dependency that Solomon speaks about here. And as the songwriter once penned the words, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust, the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He goes on there in that second verse to say, when darkness hides his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor lies beyond on the veil. Why is that? Because I have learned to lay myself on the feet of the master, and where he leads, I will follow. Where he feeds, I will eat, because he is my shepherd. And when he is my shepherd, I will have no want, because I trust in him. The psalmist had the right idea. If you still got your Bibles open, there, go with me. Psalm 37. Love these verses. Psalm 37, a psalm of David here, verse number 3. He said, trust in the Lord. How many times you reckon David looked at Solomon and said, son, you better trust to the Lord? I believe it was more than once. It carries through right on into Solomon's teaching. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But he's not done there. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then finally he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All three commands given here by David are signs of true dependence. Number one, he says, trust the Lord. Number two, he says, delight in him. And number three, he says, commit to him. It's all the idea of being completely dependent upon him. What does my dependence declare? It declares that I am trusting in God. My dependence declares I'm delighting in God. And my dependence declares I have committed my way unto him, and he is my portion. Oh, our God is entirely dependable. His character makes it impossible for him to lie. In fact, when Paul would take pen in hand, and he's writing to one of those young pastors by the name of Titus in Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 2. It's not a popular verse for many, but I like what it says. Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I can trust him. I can commit to him. I can delight in him tonight because he cannot lie. So therefore, I can have assurance that my dependence upon him is well placed when it is put in his hands. Our God can be trusted. He has a high and a holy purpose with absolutely no ulterior motives. Aren't you glad God's free of ulterior motives? Oh, we read it this morning, Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace, to bring about an expected end. In other words, God has no ulterior motive. You say, well, Brother Shane, he wants glory from us. Yes, he does, and he will get glory from us if we've really been born again. But can I tell you, his glory ties into his love for us. The overflowing love of God declares that God desires to move and direct us if we will but trust him and commit entirely unto his will. Oh yes, his wisdom is so great he can never make a mistake. Paul would say this as well, oh the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past it finding out. Our God can be trusted. Not only are we to trust him, but we're also told how we are to depend upon him. Oh, trust in the Lord is what Solomon declared. Trust in the Lord with what is reasonable. Is that what he said? Trust in the Lord with what is rational. No? Trust in the Lord with what is really important. That is not any of those what he said. He said, trust in the Lord with no reserves, if you would, with all of thine heart. We as people like to feel a sense of independence. After all, we are American people, right? Every 4th of July, in some way, I hope you celebrate the independence of this nation because it is a wonderful and it is a good thing. I don't care what they're trying to delete history and do away with it. It is a wonderful thing that we have independence. But can I tell you tonight, if we're not careful, that spirit of independence will try and creep into us in our spiritual lives, and we'll start thinking that we can do something on our own and that we are something by ourselves. But you know what Solomon declares? He said it's okay to have some independence. Oh, but when it comes to the things of God, we are to be utterly and entirely dependent upon him. So much so, as Jesus is standing in the upper room and he's looking at his disciples right before he dies, he would say, without me, you can do nothing. Why? We must be all utterly dependent upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. In the age of the self-made men and women, it goes against the grain to speak of an individual being completely reliant upon and sufficient only in Christ. It seems like heresy to the world. We hear now the slogan of the humanist that declares that you are enough. Oh, I know some people that claim the title of Christianity and they preach this New Age message that you're enough. You don't need anything else. Ain't nobody can add to you. You're enough just like you are. Well, can I tell you, if you were enough just like you were, Jesus died in vain. Oh, the resurrection should have never happened. He never ascended to the right hand of the Father if we were enough by ourselves. But can I tell you, all the scriptures do not declare that we are enough, but they do declare that he is enough, and there is nothing beyond him that we could need, because we find in him all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Oh yes, oh, scripture declares that Christ alone is enough, and apart from him we can do nothing. If our trust is to be true, can I tell you this evening, it must be complete. Oh, don't tell me. Well, most of all, I don't care. You can tell me, but don't tell the Lord. about how much you trust him in this, but you don't trust him for that. Our trust is to be with all of our heart. That means with everything we got. So if we can trust him for the finances, guess what? We can trust him for the health diagnosis. If we can trust him for the church's sufficiency, we can trust him for our sufficiency. If we can trust him with our friends, we can trust him with our family. He is enough. He is more than enough. And he will be all that we ever need. So therefore, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Oh, that Hebrew word for trust, I told you how it was used, but it quite literally means to stretch out, to lie face down. It is the picture of a man totally stretched out on his face before God. The message of his posture is total helplessness and dependence upon God. It declares that he is totally yielded to the will of the Lord. You know what Matthew tells us about our Lord? About Jesus? Oh, the Bible tells us there when he's getting ready to face his cross, what did he do? He went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said when he had removed himself about a stone's cast away, he fell down and stretched himself upon the ground. You know what? That was more. I believe you can take it how you want to. I believe that was more than just useless information. I believe it was the posture of our Lord's heart as he laid himself down at the feet of his Father. And you know what the next words recorded there in the Gospel of Matthew are? He said, "Father, oh, I want this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will be done." In other words, I am stretching myself out before your feet, Father, and whatever you want, even if it goes against what my flesh desires, I will accept it because it is of your good will that it comes. Oh boy, that takes a lot of fortitude, doesn't it? To look at a cross and say, "I embrace a cross if I know it is the will of God." Somebody say, "Oh, are you worried, Brother Shane, that people aren't willing to give up their lives for Jesus, to die for Jesus?" I'll tell you what concerns me more is the people that aren't willing to live for him. Because I can tell you one thing, if you aren't willing to live for him and to trust him completely in everyday life, you will not be willing to die for him. Oh, but those that love not their lives unto death, as the book of Revelation says, they are the ones who overcome. I like what John Trapp, the Puritan writer, once declared. He said, "They trust God not at all that do it not alone. He that stands with one foot on a rock and the other upon quicksand will sink and perish as certainly as he had both feet in this quicksand." He said, in other words, there's no straddling the fence, half trusting God and half trusting yourself. He said, it's one or the other. And he said, the man that would try to do that would sink just as quick as the man who had both feet in the sand. Oh, I believe it tonight. I ask you this as we move on whom are you leaning, yourself or your Savior? The decision's ours. That to decide to completely trust him, or decide to depend upon him, if you would, tonight. Second of all, we have to decide to denounce our will. Notice what he says there, Proverbs 3:5. "Lean not unto thine own understanding." I believe some translations render it this way: "Give no ear to your own understanding." Do not heed your own understanding. Others keep that translation the same, leaning upon your own thoughts and ideas. So this is the idea of what he says. He said, not only do we need to depend upon God, oh, but we need to denounce our own will. Lean not. The idea of the word to lean that is used here in the Hebrew means to rest your entire weight upon something. Some translations render it to depend upon it. You know something, back when I worked at the shipyard, There was times we had to perform jobs. Not everything could be done down on the ground. And so they build this scaffolding. And if everybody know what scaffolding is, I'm pretty sure you do, but some people might not be familiar with construction. It's these boards that they'll build up around it. And they'll put these arms out from the edges of the thing, or they'll hang it by wires. And there you can walk. And if it's 30, 40, 50, 60 feet up in the air, you can get to your job site by accessing it by ladders. But there was something that they often used. They had what they called safety wire that ran around the outside edges. There were certain stipulations, safety rules for that was required. But you know what? One thing that was drilled in me for the almost 6 years I was in the shipyard, don't lean on the safety wire. Because they said it's not trustworthy. It's there more for a visual representation of where the edge is than it is for it to be leaned upon. Because you know what happens? You get somebody else that's careless and they leave that wire a little too slack, and what may happen? I go over there and lean on that thing and I'll fall right over the edge of it. I remember a time I was working up there. I was up on the submarine unit about 60, 70 feet up in the air, the very top of that unit. I was working. I was taking a bag full of tools trying to get on my job site. We were waiting on a crane to come. I had 100 other things on my mind. I wasn't thinking about my surroundings much more than just getting to my job site. And I remember I rounded the corner, and when I did, one of the staging boards wasn't completely all the way to the edge. And I stepped right down through that hole, and my arm grabbed that safety wire, and I about fell. I tell you one thing, I took that tool bag off my back and I sat right down there on the ground and I collected my thoughts for a second. Because I can tell you, if I wasn't aware of my surroundings before, I became suddenly aware of them. You know what I realized? They got a point when they say, don't lean on that wire because it may not be trusted. Thankfully, that day it held me up. But what would have happened if somebody else would have done a slack job on it and I had flipped over the side of that unit? I might not have been standing here preaching to you tonight. Can I tell you something? You know what Solomon warns about? He said, it's like that safety wire. He said, your own will's like that safety wire. It just tells you where the edges and the limits are. But don't ever lean on it. Don't ever trust in it. Because I've watched some people that they think they can figure it out. Well, God saved me, but I can get it from here on out, Lord. And you know what I've watched them do? I've watched them stumble and fall. I've watched them get tripped up. I've watched them get broken and down. Why is that? Because they tried to lean on their own understanding. They tried to put their weight on something that was faulty. Oh, you know what? There's times I look back over my life, and you know what? I had a certain will, a certain desire about what the things I was facing, about the direction I wanted my life to go in. And you know what? I stand here as a 29-year-old young man tonight, and I look back and I say, thank God I didn't lean on what I thought was best. There's a few times I'd love to reach out and put a little weight on it and started walking in accordance with what I thought was best. Oh, but aren't you glad for the times that the Holy Ghost will rein you in and he'll say, hey, you stop right there. Oh, you don't go that way. There's danger ahead. Oh, I thank God for the times that a preacher got behind the pulpit under the unction of the Holy Ghost and he looked at me, oh, with fear in his eyes and with dread in his heart, and he said, don't go the direction you're going because disaster lies ahead. You know what that was? That was the voice of God to me. Oh, saying, don't lean on your own understanding. And what I'd do, I'd crawl to an altar and I'd say, Lord, don't let me go my way, but let me go your way. Because I found out that our own understanding is an unstable foundation. Self-sufficiency and self-dependence have been the ruin of mankind since the fall of Adam himself. The grand sin of the human race is that we continually endeavor to live independent of God. It blows my mind. I've been raised in church. Got saved when I was 13. You know the story. I'm not telling you anything. And it blows my mind the number of people that call themselves Christians, but they want to live every other day but Sunday independent from God. They're Christians. But you ask them, did you pray about the house that you're in? No. Did you pray about your career? No. Oh, you say, I know the grace of God's big. I understand that. God can move. Thank God for it. His grace is bigger than our ignorance. Thank the Lord for that. But can I tell you something? The will of God is so good, He can keep you from some of those pitfalls. I've told you before, there's been a few times I didn't pray about a vehicle I bought. And you know what? After I got done with it, I said, what in the world was I doing? I look back at 29, back to 21-year-old me, and I say, what was I thinking? I made a decision like that without even consulting the Lord. Because you know what? I was raised, you know. Not in every case, but I had some influences in my life. They said, well, certain things just don't matter, you know. Just go out and do it. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He'll give you the desires of your heart if the desires of your heart are in accordance with His heart. But if the desires of your heart are not in accordance with His heart, He's not going to give you what you desire. You're going to have to kick, claw, and scream for it. And then when you get it, you're going to find out it wasn't all that. Oh, yeah. Anybody else ever been there? Beg God, Lord, I wish You'd work this situation out. I wish You'd work this out. I wish You'd give me that promotion. I wish You'd give me this. I wish You'd give me that. Lord, I really feel like I need it, Lord. And then you get it, and you turn around and say, I wish I'd never got it. Why was it? Tried to lean on our own understanding. Oh, but aren't you glad that God's grace is bigger than our ignorance? Oh, we have a lot of practical atheists. You say, what's a practical atheist? A person who may claim to believe in God, but yet they live and make their decisions like there's no God at all. Oh, they call themselves a self-sufficient. I'll tell you one thing, nothing but Christ's sufficiency will do. If you are self-sufficient, you will find that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Can I ask you tonight, what are you leaning on? Have you made the decision to denounce your will and rely completely on His? Self is an unstable foundation that will let you down. Not may let you down, it will let you down. Just ask that man who built his house on the sand. Oh yeah, he got that house up a lot faster than that man who decided to dig down to the rock. The Bible says it's a great house. Big house. It might have been bigger than the one the man built on the rock. I don't know. But you know what he said about that house? Just as great as the house was, great was the fall thereof. Because somebody decided to lean on their own understanding rather than digging down to the rock and founding it upon the Word of God. In Charles Wesley's hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, he declares, other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on Thee. I know we don't sing that one. You may not even known that song existed, but I like the words to that. No other refuge have I none, my soul or hangs only upon Thee. Do you have another refuge tonight? You got another source, another voice you're listening to? Because if you do, you may find out that voice might be leading you in another way. Oh, but can I promise you one voice that'll never lead you wrong? It is the voice of God. And when He is speaking, it would be in our best interest to be listening. Amen. Having ears to hear, some hear not though. Third decision they come to, not only must we denounce our own will, but we must decide to desire His presence. Verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Or if I could put it this way, in all thy ways acknowledge His presence. Every day and in every way. In every way. This decision has to be made every single day. Solomon declares, in all of our ways we are to acknowledge Him. You know, I find great comfort that I can bring every matter unto the Lord, no matter how great or small they are. Oh, and we can do the same thing, doesn't matter what we're facing. In all of our ways, we can acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge who He is and what He desires to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Some translations render it this way. Seek His will or be mindful of Him. In all things, we are to know, recognize, and acknowledge God. You know something? It is our choice to invite God into every matter in our lives. We make a choice. I know life's filled with choices, but we make a choice every day of whether we are going to invite God into every decision we make. And you know what I mean by that. I'm not here to tell you that you have to stop when you're at the drive-through menu and look and say, Lord, should I order the quarter pounder with cheese or the Big Mac? I'm not telling you that. But I'm going to tell you something. We better be mindful of the decisions that we make, because we may find that those decisions we feel like right now aren't all that important. Later on, we may regret those decisions simply for the fact that we failed to invite the Lord into the decision. You say, Brother Shane, the Lord was already there. I know He was there. David didn't say that God wasn't there. He just said we are to acknowledge that He is there and that He has a plan for every decision of our life. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Ask His counsel, aim for His glory, and acknowledge His presence, one preacher said, and I like it, and I'll go with it. The Hebrew word translated acknowledge here is not fully represented by the term acknowledge Him. This is a word that means to know intimately and personally. If you got your Bibles, they're still there. Go with me, 1 Chronicles 28. It was the instruction of David as he is dying and he's talking to Solomon here. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9. David's talking to his young son here, and he says these words. I'm almost done, I promise. 1 Chronicles 28, 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord God of thy father. Quite literally, it's the same word in the Hebrew that is used in Proverbs chapter number 3. You could render it this way. Acknowledge thou the Lord God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou wilt seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou wilt forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. He said, if you seek Him, you're going to find Him. If you acknowledge His presence and desire His will, you will be found of Him. You are studying Solomon right now in your Sunday school classes, those who are following along the court list. Did Solomon always do that? I wish I could say he did. But Solomon, at one point in his life, he began to lean on his own understanding. And he failed to acknowledge the Lord in all things. And 1,000 women later, and a kingdom that's turning to idolatry, turning on its hinges. You know what the Bible says? That the Lord raised up enemies unto Solomon. Oh, it's the fulfillment of what David said would happen. He said, if you acknowledge Him and seek His will, you're going to find Him, Solomon. He said, but if you do not, what does He say? He said, He will cast thee off forever. Oh, we must desire the presence of God in all things. I ask you a few questions here in this final point before we close. Do we desire His presence in every area of our life? What about in your finances? Do you desire the presence of God? Do we acknowledge Him in our finances? Do you acknowledge Him in your pursuits? Do you acknowledge Him in your thought life? Do you acknowledge Him on the job site? Do you acknowledge Him in your business dealings? Because that's what it means to acknowledge Him in all things. Do we desire to acknowledge His presence? Can I just say one more thing? Whether we decide to acknowledge His presence or not, He is still there. So it's best for us to take knowledge of His presence and include Him in our decisions. Make Him the priority in our decisions. So as I close this evening, we're going to do something a little different tonight. But as I close, I just want to ask you, mention a few things. When we determine to depend on God, denounce our will, and desire His presence, you know what David, I mean, you know what Solomon declares? He declares this. He said, acknowledge Him in all things, and He shall direct thy paths. In other words, He is going to make the path straight, is quite literally what it means. He's going to make the way clear. Do you believe that tonight? I am just crazy enough to believe that if we depend upon God, denounce our will, and desire His presence, I believe that He will direct our paths. He will lead us in the best way. There are other ways, but they are not the best way. There is only one way that is the best way, and it is God's way. Oh, hallelujah. I encourage you tonight, depend on God, denounce your will, and declare His presence in all things. And I believe these decisions determine where you will end up in life and how well you will fulfill the purpose that God has for you. Now, Brother Matthew, I was sitting in his Sunday school class about, I don't know, a couple months ago, maybe now. And he made a comment and it struck me. I don't know if it was original to him, but I'm going to give him the credit for it. He said, God will either be glorified in you or in spite of you. And I thought about that. I haven't forgot it. You know, the only way for God to be glorified in us and not in spite of us is for us to do what Solomon said here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. I don't know about you. I want God to be glorified in me and not in spite of me. So tonight what we're going to do, I want Brother Matthew to come up. He's made his decision to pursue the will of God. So I want us as a church family, to pray for Brother Matthew. You said, Brother Shane, we've had other people leave through the years. You've never done anything like this. Is it going to be your new tradition? I don't know. But it is what I felt to do tonight. And I'll tell you specifically why I felt to do this. It's because Brother Matthew is a minister of the gospel. And I'm not here to, I believe that ministers should not make much of themselves. But I believe that you can make much of the ministry of the gospel. And you know what? I appreciate, and I'll just say this in front of everybody now. I appreciate Brother Matthew in all of the in this decision, every time he's talked with me about it, he has always at some point brought the conversation to the fact of I feel that this is the will of God. I have prayed and I know this to be the will of God. I haven't heard him once say, I'm going down there to pursue a career. I haven't heard him once say, I'm going down there just so I can be a part of a bigger church or so I can do this or I can do that. Every time he said it, he said, because I feel like God has directed me to do it. And you know what? I believe God has. And now as God is directing him in that way, you know what we're going to do? As the saints of God, we're going to stand behind him and see him off and pray that God would lead him and direct him, because this ain't the last time that God's going to direct him to do something. By the grace of God, he's going to need the Lord's direction ahead. But you know what we can do as a church family tonight? I want everybody that would, the men that would, I want us to come around. We're going to lay our hands on Brother Matthew. You ladies, if you would, you can stand, or if you're not able to stand, and we're going to raise our hands in this direction tonight, and we're going to ask God to direct him and to lead him in the paths that are ahead. I don't know what lies ahead for Brother Matthew, but I know one that does. And as he endeavors to acknowledge the Lord, as he endeavors to make his paths plain before God, I want the Lord to direct him. So every man that would, I want you to come, men of this church, I want us to gather around Brother Matthew, and we're going to pray over him tonight. And you know what? I want to see God's will. You know what? I'd love nothing more. I know he's going to be back to visit. This isn't going to be the last time we see him. Better not be. But it won't be the last time we see him. But you know what? I want to start hearing the reports of how God's leading him beyond where he's at. And you know what? We can be a part of that by praying and asking God for his will to be done in this life. Can we do that tonight?